Hello and welcome to MellowPod 2022. My name is Gary.
My name is Mark.
And my name's Alex.
Welcome, guys. We are back.
Yeah.
Can you believe it?
I can't believe it's been 12 months since the last Melfest. My, how time flies.
Oh. Just once more with feeling.
My, how time flies. I'm so thrilled.
So, yes, we are here back again, the team behind Not Often Heard, to talk about Melodifestivalen, Sweden's selection show to pick their entry for Eurovision. And it's a bit of all change this year, isn't it? Because the head honcho of Melodifestivalen, Christer Björkman, for the last 20-odd years, has departed. He's not dead. Sorry, just to clarify. He's fine. He's just decided to step down and he's actually producing the American Song Contest over in America right now. So he's moving on to Pastures New. So this means we have a new production team behind the scenes in some respects. And we kick off semi-final one in Stockholm, which is a little bit different to what we were expecting, because we were told earlier that it was going to be doing the old arena tour and it was going to be going all around Sweden like it normally would. And unfortunately, due to the restrictions in the country, that was proving to be challenging. So they decided to relocate all shows to Stockholm, hastily trying to find a venue. I believe, goodness knows why, they didn't have something lined up already as plan B. And we ended up in the Globen, which is now the Avicii Arena, that is famous for hosting Eurovision 2000 and many a Melfest finale as well. So it's a really good venue. And we had Tusa and his choir starting us off. So now, 12 months after we first kind of heard Tusa, do you still like the song?
Yeah, I do.
I think he still kills it. He still absolutely rocks it. Still really, you know, selling it. I really do think it was a good song. There's no two ways about it. It was a really good song, well performed, well sung, and sung with conviction as well.
And I just love his outfits. He's just, wow.
Oh, the outfit was fantastic.
Was it like gold tassels or something?
Yeah, it reminded me of something Joe Grant would wear.
The first of many Doctor Who references I'm sure you'll see in this podcast.
But no, I thought it was a good way to open Eurovision. Not Eurovision. Melfest. Getting ahead of myself. No, I thought it was really a good way to open the show. You know, it was a very sort of... It had this sort of big sort of poetic build-up. There was the sort of monologue that was going on behind it. It was very Lord of the Rings in that sense. I was kind of expecting like Kate Blanchett to be coming in, just being like, I feel it in the water. Just doing a full routine from the beginning.
I liked the opener. I liked how they had all the different people carrying the Melfest trophy. It made me think, Melfest is for everyone.
Yes.
Yes, I see what you mean. It was all people from all walks of life. I get that.
Yeah.
Really good. And we actually got his kind of choir of voices. He got lots of people on stage. And as we mentioned, due to the restrictions, they'd had to relocate to Globen and they were limited to just 500 people in the arena. Now, did it feel like that was an empty hall to you with just 500
in it?
No, it didn't. I think they did really well. There was socially distanced seating towards the front. And what you probably didn't catch too much of was a lot of the sides were empty. A lot of the seating around the arena had nothing. And it was all centred on the bottom floor. And the shots on it were chosen quite carefully so that it didn't really reveal too much, I think, about that. So well done to them, really, for pulling that out of the bag and relocating at quite short notice, when the whole plans got scuppered, and putting in an audience that still felt like it made the venue look full. And it was just so nice to see the balloons again. Oh, I miss them balloons.
And there was all the blue and yellow balloons.
The little heart-shaped balloons they got this year. Because it's a proper part of the atmosphere, isn't it? There's normally dealy boppers, balloons waving around, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it felt like Melfest was coming home. And we were back to normal, almost. So our host for this year is Oscar Zia. Ably assisted by Farah Abadi. Now, do you remember what we said about Oscar last year when he did a presenting stint? Yeah.
We loved him, didn't we? He had such good chemistry with Anis.
Yes. And so I think we basically said last year, he's just got himself a gig for Melfest next year. I think it's his if he wants it. And indeed it was. Anis wasn't there. I'm not quite sure if it was offered and he just said no. Or if they decided they didn't want to have two presenters. So Oscar is back following his success. Did he live up to expectations? Because we thought he did such a good job last year. We were expecting more of the same, surely.
Yeah, he was okay.
Yeah. I think what it was that Oscar was really good when he was working sort of in the team, but for the majority of the part of this, he was working on his own.
Mm.
You know, even whether it's Melfest or Eurovision, work on yourself, that's a tough, it's a tough gig to carry on your own.
So yeah.
I think, you know, he kind of needs someone alongside him to have that level of banter with.
Yes.
Yeah. Someone to bounce off.
Yeah, exactly.
I see what you mean. Yeah, when you're the front man, there's a hell of a lot of pressure on you for that. I do agree. And yes, it was a shame that it wasn't proper co-host. Farah was more relegated to green room duties and Oscar was carrying the show. And perhaps he'd need somebody to go along with him. Shall we move on to looking at the songs then?
Hmm.
So we are following the traditional format now of seven songs. Two songs will go directly to the final from this semi, and then two songs will go to semi-final five, not second chance, as we like to call it, and it should be called, because that's what it is, but no, it's second chance. It's heat number five. Okay, whatever. Whatever you say.
But anyway. It's second chance, and everybody knows it's second chance.
Yeah. Yeah.
And everybody will call it Andra Hansen,
exactly.
Even though it's semi-five, but everybody will call it second. Dance.
Yeah.
Yeah. So use a Drag Race reference, it is the sort of the pork chop loading dock of Melfest.
Right, so song number one, Malu Pritz, Bananas. Malu is no stranger to Melfest, having competed in 2019 with I Do Me, Clueless-esque, very good pop song. Ballerina, not a bad song, not quite as good. Now back for a third attempt with Death Fruit, Bananas. Because I'm allergic. Mark, what did you think?
That's not how you spell bananas.
That's not how you spell bananas.
She was singing it B-A-N-A-S. Banas.
I thought it was B-A-N-A-N-A-S. Nana. B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
It was not clear enough. And it's still not how you... You know, Naz isn't a letter. I'm sorry. And I don't know why they did it, because the rhythm of the song would have fit B-A-N-A-N-A-S, bananas. It would have fitted in.
Yeah.
But there we go. I was just like, that's not how you spell bananas.
Hmm.
But it was a good enough song. I thought it was quite catchy. A good chorus.
True. Alex, did this float your boat banana-wise?
I mean, the tune itself was pretty decent. You know, it was sort of reminded me of sort of like a cross between sort of like Little Mix and Avril Lavigne. It had sort of a bit of both. My concern, which is sort of twofold, was what she was wearing.
Yes.
Number one, I thought it looked a bit messy because she had like this, the sort of block colour, like pantsuit thing, and then she had that flowery thing underneath it, which looked a little messy. I think she could have just had the romper thing over the top, and then got rid of the flower bit, and it looked way better. I think she could have edited it a bit more. Secondly, you're singing a song about bananas and you're wearing green. Why was that outfit not in yellow?
Good point.
That would have made so much a better connection. Someone needs to check whether Malu Pritz might be colorblind.
I thought it was a nice kind of glam rock-esque song. Mm. Some good use of the satellite stage at the beginning with the checkerboard pattern and the her lazing on the sofa and stuff like that. Mm. And I guess the styling, you're right, it's very different from what we'd seen her in the past, which is more of a clean-cut image. But I wonder if that was fitting in with the kind of glam rock shades that were in the song itself. And I know a few people I've seen on social media have criticised the styling for it.
Yeah. And I do like that they saw it through to the end of her performance with the whole thing about her liking a glass of milk.
Oh, yeah, and she said good. Skull.
Skull!
A fun, bouncy song to start us off, I think, and just what you need for it. But yeah, just not too sure about the subject matter for that one. So we're going to move on to song number two. Okay, and song number two is Theoz, Somme du Ville.
Yes, good old Theoz, aka Nathan from Queer as Folk. Doesn't he though? Doesn't he look like Nathan from Queer as Folk? It's the hair.
Yes, it is. It's very much a late 90s cut, yeah, by the looks of it, isn't it? The kind of bowlish cut. So he, again, is no stranger to the Melfest stage. He, as a little child, he appeared on stage with Victor and Samir doing Shuffler from a few years back. He was kind of one of the backing dancers, part of the performance. So he's back as a solo artist this time, singing in Swedish, Somme du Ville. So, Alex, we'll go to you first. What did you think of Theoz?
Well, I found out from doing a bit of research about some of the acts that outside of Eurovision, Theoz actually sort of made more of a following through doing TikTok, which I think kind of explains the choreo. They very much remind me of sort of like a like one of those like viral dances you see on TikTok.
Yeah.
But no, I thought the choreo was pretty decent. You know, it's a good bop, but you know, it's very sort of what we've seen before, very sort of boy bandy
kind of
feel.
It's got a catchy chorus, I think, with a kind of clap along bridge to it as well. Mm. Which always helps, gets the audience whipped up. I'm not too sure about the prison realness being served by the backing dancers in the orange tracksuits, by the looks of it.
I didn't even think about that.
I just immediately thought of Orange is the New Black in prison when I saw them. And I was a bit concerned it might be a bit nippy in the old Avicii arena there with his, he's got his body warmer on. So maybe it's a little bit chilly.
Yeah, so, I love the gilet.
Being a posh now, the gilet.
The gilet. No, it's a body warmer. Obviously, you know, I'm from Stoke. It's a body warmer.
What did you think, Mark? Your cup of tea?
I think I'll just echo what a pair of you have said, really. It was perfectly pleasant in a boy bandy sort of way. Am I allowed to say he was very, very Scandinavian in his look, I thought. but it was nice that it was sung in Swedish as well, because I think Swedish language songs don't often do well. I think Swedish people do think that to be successful at Eurovision, you've got to sing in English.
Yeah.
So it was good to see a Swedish language song. Translates as you wish, Somme du Ville.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that, but that does strike a point. When you think about the most successful Eurovision song to come out of Sweden, obviously the first thing you think of is Waterloo.
Yeah.
Yeah. ABBA, which is a song in English.
Yep, well, song in English.
The song that's most popular now in English.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I kind of understand where, you know, there'd be this sort of thing of, in order to be more successful in Eurovision, you need to have a song that is in English.
True, and I do think it should a Swedish language song win Melfest now, there probably would be a big discussion about whether or not they should translate to English, and they probably already I suspect he already has an English version lined up should he win, and they opt to take the English version to Eurovision, then it'll be ready to go. They often, it's often the case now for these. Now, so that was the first two songs. We have a bit of business with some puppets for some reason.
It's a puppet!
I don't know, is this supposed to be like Mick Jagger and Keith Richards-esque from the Rolling Stones? A couple of aging rockers watching.
That was the vibe, I think, wasn't it?
That's what I was getting. One of them looked a bit like Ringo Starr. With the moustache. Yeah, I'm not quite sure what that was, but it provided us a minimal distraction whilst they segued into the next song. But before then, we have a problem. Svarja, vi har ett problem. I don't know the Swedish word for problem yet. Sorry. So, what should happen is there is a combined voting system. There is a straightforward televote, which they've had for 20-odd years, where you just ring in, cast your vote, and there's a couple of different numbers to pick from, a cheaper rate one and a more expensive one, which includes a donation to a charity. Straightforward, dead easy. You ring up, you cast your vote, and then they count the votes, and whoever's got the most progresses, etc. But for the last sort of 7 years or so, they've had app voting, and you remember the little heart that you used to see on the screen?
Definitely, yeah.
So there was a little heart normally flashing on screen, and it kind of beats faster, and that gets the changes colour, and goes up in flames.
Yeah,
and that each colour represents a different age group, because when you sign up into the app, they ask you to put your age range in, and it allows them to calculate scores based on the age ranges. And there was going to be this big thing where they were going to deliver the results partially based on televote, but then also going to deliver the app vote based on the voting demographic breakdown as well. And it was going to be like mini Eurovision every week, with points being assembled on the board and you're seeing stuff move up the board and move down, etc. Yeah. But then we have a problem because the app crashed.
Oh no.
It kicked people out. It wouldn't let them back in. The app has been massively expanded over the years. It now includes a link to the streaming of the contest, with both a Swedish and an English language commentary running alongside it, plus like a card game where you can collect Melfest artists and things like that, you know, kind of trading card game. You can see backstage bits and pieces and interact and stuff, and it's a whole thing in itself now. It's a whole little fan community.
Really?
It's huge. And so it's got ever more complex.
Pokemon's Go? Oh, God.
Wouldn't surprise me. So the ever-increasing complexity perhaps may have contributed to the crashing of the app. So that basically meant the app was abandoned, and poor Oscar is then left with some cue cards, pretty much, I think, saying, can you just read this out and explain that the app's crashed and we now have to go to televote only? And because we got rid of showing the phone numbers on screen during the performances several years ago, we don't even have the graphics ready for that. So all we can is throw up the table, which has all the songs and all the numbers together. So they weren't prepared in that respect for it. They didn't have backup graphics. It's a shame, and I think that didn't help Oscar's nerves.
No. So put him off.
Because I imagine he'd been rehearsing and he's got a teleprompter with his script going across, and then suddenly that script is all thrown out in the bin.
Yeah.
And he gets handed a set of cards to say, you need to explain now what's happened, while we get the teleprompter hastily retyped for you. They'd also been planning to be in a different arena. They'd only moved in like 2 weeks beforehand, and everything had to be restructured, retooled. It was a lot of last-minute replanning.
Yeah.
So, yes, brief interruption whilst Oscar explains televote only. On to song number three, then. Shirley Clamp, Let There Be Angels.
It's interesting. This is probably the only song out of all seven where I can actually still remember the tune and the lyric to the chorus. But it wasn't anywhere near my favourite song of the night.
I mean, it's her eighth appearance on Melfest, either as part of a duo or a solo artist, equaling Linda Bengtzing, who's also doing her eighth appearance. I like that she's in a cape. Shirley's got a cape on. Shirley cape. I like it.
No capes. No capes.
No capes. No capes.
She stoned the F out of those gloves. So Rue would would approve. I like that. And I like the fact that she says all that glitters is gold. Not glitters.
Yeah, but that's the thing, is it? All that glitters is not gold. Oh.
I thought it was a very calm performance after the first two bouncy songs. It was quite measured. You know, there was no dancers bouncing around behind her. She was just standing there. It was quite calm, quite measured, and she then just relied on the lights building up as she hit the bridge and the final chorus, and the wind machine kicks in. And, you know, a good performance from her, but even though she went all, you know, Zeraphine at the bridge, and, you know, she's splitting into different things, I still think it's the weakest of her entries. Alex, what did you think?
Well, I described this whole act as essentially being what happens when you order a Dell off Wish. Just... It was the look, the hair. I can't say I was particularly fond of the outfit. As we said before, you know, no capes. And there was obviously a good old-fashioned Eurovision-style key change.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little pitchy, but I understand a little bit now why. I found out that Shirley Camp used to sing backup vocals for Whitney Houston and Britney Spears. So I can imagine that years of just going, oh, yeah, we'll do that to her vocals.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I know what you mean. Mark, what did you think?
It's like I said, it was absolutely nowhere near my favourite of the night. Great voice on the whole, as you say, a bit pitchy. Hated the dress. I like that camera effect where she kind of like splits into two. Yeah, but it was a ballad by numbers, really. It just didn't float my boat, really. Nothing wrong with it, but yeah.
That's just the problem. The last couple of times she's come back, she's done kind of ballady songs, and she's never really got very far.
Yeah.
So I was kind of hoping after a few years' break, she'd come back and think, right, let's just give him a banger, because that's where I did my best.
You need to give sort of a good banger, a good sort of hit song from the get-go. You have to remember, it's Melfest, not Meh-fest. give us something big and sort of grand, something that we'll remember from the get-go. Don't just give us something that we've just like a carbon copy.
Know what you mean. Oh, well. So not high hopes for Shirley as we head on to song number four. This is Omar Rudberg, When You Move Like That. So formerly of Foe and O, a group who'd participated in Melfest before with Thing About You. Now starring in Young Royals, a very popular show on Netflix. And we have Latin Pop. Mark, your thoughts?
I really like the tune and the beat from kind of like the get-go. I thought, oh, this is good. This is a bit of a bop. I didn't like what he was wearing. Too sparkly, too glittery. A good all-round performance, a great choreo, really good dancing, and from him as well as the backing dancers. I did think his voice was maybe a bit on the thin side. There wasn't a lot to it. Again, overall, a good performance, and I expected him to do quite well, given with how famous I suppose he is, really.
huge on social media, apparently. You know, yeah. Something like 2 million followers or something daft like that. Like 20% yeah. of the population follow him. What did you think, Alex?
I mean, I liked it. I thought it was a pretty decent thing. I didn't mind the outfit. I thought it was fabulous. Like, I was just like, oh my gosh, this outfit. I thought it was really cool. And I like the fact that it felt a bit more sort of ambiguous while you were singing too, with the sort of the lyrics and his sort of interactions with the backup dancers. It wasn't made entirely clear whether he was singing to a girl or to a boy, which I thought was really interesting. It left things kind of up for interpretation. It sort of, in a way, was sort of almost like an extra bit of like queer representation in a way, which I thought was really cool. And you know, looking up this guy as well, looking up who the other members of FONO were, it does feel very sort of, I can understand the sort of the connections and sort of the similarities, because you know, when you're in a boy band with, you know, flipping Felix Salmon and what was it, Oscar Enestad as well as in FONO, you know, remembering those tunes from the last couple of years, remembering I Love It and Boys With Emotions, it's sort of, you can see the sort of connections. And the, in a way, it was kind of similar to what we were expecting, but I think it sort of, there were little things I feel he did that amped it up compared to the other two members of his former band.
I think he's very confident. He came across as a really confident performer on there. But can we talk about those purple washing up gloves that his backing dancers are wearing?
They were weird, weren't they?
What is going off with that? Listen, if you're going to wear purple washing up, if you're going to wear purple washing up gloves, you better stone the F out of them, okay?
We'll have no more B&M bargains.
It's just really weird. This kind of odd, and his style was almost reminiscent of Michael Jackson, sort of 80s Michael, you know, with the glitter top and the single glove on it. It's, you know, heat one is heat of the gloves, basically. Is it, well? That's our keyword for this week. Gloves.
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 Okay. Well, we move on to song number 5, and Danny Strawhead, which sounds like a character from Wurzel Gummidge, to be honest. I kind of like the name. It's cool. And
Before we move on to talking about Danny, can we just take a moment to get over the sort of shock and horror from when Oscar was down in the audience talking to that woman? And there was, because we both noticed this, if you look back over it, there's that moment where Oscar is in the audience, and next to him, the black hoodie, there is this, like, we describe as demon child. This is there with these blank, staring eyes, and me and Mark were just like, what the heck is going on with that child?
Didn't look like he wanted to be there.
He had absolute face on him. Just the eyes were just like, oh my god, demon child.
Poor kid. Probably perhaps dragged along by the parents who are massive Melfest fans.
Yeah. Also, when you talk about the fact that Oscar had absolutely no idea what he was doing with the mic at that moment, because like, he had the microphone in his hands and she was trying to talk, and he wasn't holding the mic up or anything. Just like, he just went like, where's this mic going? What am I doing with this thing?
Yeah, it was an odd moment, perhaps one that was lost in translation on us. So anyway, Danny Strawhead.
Danny Strawhead.
So we have a bit of dance band for the first time. It's basically Rena-Rama Ding Dong 2022 with Hullabaloo. I don't know, it felt like a theme to a kids' TV programme. To me. And he's got 7 people on stage, so the woman with the washboard needs to leave. Sorry.
We said this, that there were 7 people on stage, and we said we get rid of the woman with the washboard. Then I was like, no, we've got to keep the representation. So it'd be one of the others. It'd be one of the ones playing the guitar. And then we realised that actually Danny Strawhead was one of the ones playing the guitar.
Oh no.
Yeah. I did think it was very sort of like, you know, you like uncle's folk band meeting in the pub. yeah, playing a bet. Band.
Yeah.
It was very just sort of like, yeah, it was very sort of like Fire Saga at the beginning.
But, you know, we've seen this before, isn't it? We've, you know, we've got Diggaloo Diggaloo, Renorama Ding Dong, Boogaloo. There's even a reference to Golden Shoes in the lyrics as well as a nod to Diggaloo.
Mm.
I mean, your kind of thing, Mark?
Not massively. I thought it was catchy enough. As you say, it's a bit of a kind of like twist on the old folk song, bit kind of like the old dance band, a bit schlagery sort of thing. Mm. It was okay.
Yeah, it's the kind of thing that gets thrown in, you know, into the mix almost every year. We've had Fool Dance before, Renorama Ding Dong last year. So it's a bit of fun and it just provides a bit of variety. So, you know, it's...
Yeah.
It should exist for that, you know, just to provide a bit of variety. Yeah. We don't ever seriously think it's going to win, do we?
No.
Okay. Home straight as we head on to song number 6, Cornelia Jacobs, Hold Me Closer. Mark, what did you think of this one?
This was my favourite of the night. And again, but I don't know, I can't really say why it was my favourite of the night. I think there were a few things that I really liked about it. I thought that the fact that she had a wired mic and it was all the cables trailing along with it, I found that was quite retro, quite like that. She was barefoot. That was a nice little touch. You don't see that as often as you used to do. But I think the big thing, what I really liked, was the kind of like the rhythm of the lyrics. The lyrics kind of like really fitted the rhythm of the song really, really well. And it kind of like, I didn't think I was going to like it when it started, but by the end I was like, actually, this is a clever song that's been cleverly written and fits really well with the rhythm.
Mm. I'd agree. Alex, what did you think?
So, we had Adele off of Wish before with Shirley Clamp. Now we have Billie Eilish off of Amazon. This for me, it had the same things about this that I did for, I think it was it Romania's entry last year? Either Romania or Bulgaria? Was it Growing Up Is Getting Old?
Bulgaria.
Bulgaria, yes. Thank you. It had, again, the same things. It's a nice tune, good lyrics, but it was so depressing. The tune is so depressing, and it's not really my thing, is what I'm saying.
Mm.
You know, when I think of what makes a really good Eurovision song, I think of something that's upbeat, that's going to, you know, have more of a sort of party element to it. But I didn't get that from this one.
Mm. I know what you mean.
It's just a bit sort of mellowed out.
I think I liked it. It certainly was the best of the night, I thought, for me. I like the Kilippo mic, as you said, Mark. Mm-hmm. Wired, unusual, didn't need to be done that way. Wireless mics work absolutely fine. It was it was an artistic choice. The fact that the staging was quite simple, with just that circle behind you and a few lighting effects, and it was quite dark for a lot of it.
Yeah.
And it kind of reminded me a bit of Clara Klingenström last year.
Oh yeah,
You know, it was her with a guitar. You know, and that was something that had built momentum as it went through the competition, going through the second chance, then straight to the final, and did really well in the final actually as well. Mm. Very respectable result for it. So yeah, top one of the night for me.
Yeah. Also, going as Doctor Who fans between the three of us. Does she or does she not look a little bit like Jodie Whittaker?
She does.
Yes or no?
Yes. Yeah, you're right. Jodie Whittaker hair there.
Yeah.
Definitely. You can see that resemblance. Song number 7 then. We're nearly there. Robin Bengtsson, Innocent Love. Robin, again, a returning artist. He won it in 2017 with I Can't Go On and that potty word that we can't mention in it. he'd also tried Constellation Prize. Not Constellation, Constellation Prize was another one of his. And his last attempt was If You Take a Chance on Me.
Yeah.
Which is quite a nice one, but nothing seemed to really hit the mark, as well as his first song, I Can't Go On. So, has he hit the mark this time? Alex, what did you think?
So the song I thought was quite, you know, I like this more because it was a bit more sort of high energy, the beat was really good on it. My biggest issue wasn't with the song itself, it was with Robin. The song itself built up a really good beat by the end of it. You know, there was a good pulse going, it was sort of upbeat. I thought he could have actually given a bit more energy for it. Because he was kind of sort of like swaying and shuffling around the stage for a lot of it. I think he could have broken out a bit more, let loose a bit extra with it.
I see what you mean.
I think if going forward, it's something that you would need to do with this song. But we'll get to that in a moment, I think.
Mark, what did you think?
I was a bit meh about it all. It was, again, I don't think there was anything particularly wrong with it. I thought the staging, like Alex said, was a bit lackluster. He shuffled around a bit too much. Needed to kind of like, it looked like it was doubled over a lot of the time. And I'm like, oh, his back must be killing.
Yeah. Also, his guitarist looks like he was there on work experience.
I thought I like the 80s vibes, a bit Blinding Lights, which I know is a comparison that you can level at a lot of songs now. It's perhaps a little bit more freeform than his previous entries, where, you know, he's very kind of clean cut. And he's got very specific kind of routines and stuff.
Yeah.
This one, he's kind of relaxed a bit more free with it. And it's a grower for me. It took a couple of listens for it to click. Right. Which isn't a bad thing because, you know, you'll have the time over the next few weeks to get into that. He certainly sold it. He's very confident about on stage. Mm-hmm. A very, very professional performance, as we come to expect from Robin.
Yeah.
So our seven songs are complete, and whilst the televote lines get hammered as people try and cast their votes using the old-fashioned thing called a telephone, like, what do we do? What's all these numbers? How do we dial?
Oof. Telephones?
Telephone? Oof. I just press a button, surely.
You mean I need to call people?
We get a couple of interval acts where Oscar talks about the regions, I think, of Sweden, basically. And it's kind of celebrating the provinces, I guess, and saying, you know, it's not just about Stockholm, it's about everything. It's the whole country. We also had a bit of entertainment from Eric Saada. I've been paying attention to how they pronounce his name. It's not just Eric Saada, it's Eric Saada.
Saada.
So we got a medley of his Melfest hits, including an acoustic version of Man Boy.
I don't want Man Boy unless Eric's order is getting wet.
Yeah, wasn't a fan of that. You know, it kind of segued into Popular, which again was not the full banging version. And then on to Sting, which is probably his least successful Melfest entry. Mm-hmm. It was a bit meh. And then finally, his song from last year, which was I Love It, was it? I Love It. In the evening, in the morning, in the weekends.
That was a song about loud sex.
Yes. And his, you know, his lovely cream jumper was bouncing around.
Oh, God, that horrible jumper. I still have nightmares about that. And that was last year.
But it kind of showed you how he developed as an artist, you know, from the very bubblegum pop beginnings through to more stuff that he is more in the style that he likes to do towards the end. And he got inducted into the Melody Festival and Hall of Fame, which is very nice at the end of it. So he's very grateful.
Oh.
Okay, so the results. Let's talk about the results.
Yes.
Svaria, vi har et resultat, were the famous words uttered by the eternal fart that is Måns Zelmerlöw, who just will not disperse.
They will not leave. We invite him round for a cuppa once and he's still here. What, 7 years later?
It's like, every year he pops up somewhere. Can we not just have 1 year where he's left alone?
Exactly as Oscar felt in that moment. I was just like, go! Damn you,
Zelmerlöw!
So, as you mentioned earlier, the app vote crashing meant that the whole voting sequence, which had been planned to be this huge tension-building moment where they were delivering the televotes, but then they were going to deliver some app votes broken down by age group, and you would see totals building for each song. And it was all supposed to be, you know, very transparent so that you can see exactly what the rankings were and what the gaps were in terms of voting and stuff like that. That all fell apart because the app vote didn't work.
Oh dear.
So we went back to basics and it was just, let's announce who has qualified for the final and who has qualified for second chance.
Mm-hmm.
Because of this whole voting sequence thing they'd had planned, we've also lost the reprises. Because normally we would, each song that goes direct to the finale would have a reprise. And so we get to hear them again. That was done away with because of the enhanced voting sequence. So there was a bit of filler, I believe, had to be built into the show because it wasn't going as planned. And I don't blame them for dropping the reprises. We've heard the songs within the previous hour anyway.
Yeah.
We don't necessarily need to hear them again.
We are going to be hearing them again at the final anyway, so...
Absolutely, yes. And the second chances will be heard as well. And they're all across Spotify and stuff as well. They'll be played on radio. So you can find if you want them. Anyway, so our results. Director Finale, Robin Bengtsson and Cornelia Jacobs, sorry. Right result?
I think for Cornelia, I was surprised about Robin going director Finale. I probably thought he'd get through it on second chance, but I'm surprised that he was a direct qualifier.
What about for you, Alex? Right songs?
I agree with the Robin one. Like, I think... I'm surprised he went through to direct, not just to second chance. Again, you know, Cornelia not really... was not my favourite of the evening, so I was sort of... I was rooting for someone else to do it. But I wasn't expecting Cornelia to get through, but... You know, well done to her. Best of luck at the final.
I mean, for me personally, my two favourite songs of the night did go through, so I'm very happy about that. To the second chance then, we have Danny with his dance band and Theoz. Now, did you expect to see Danny going to second chance?
No
absolutely
not.
I mean, Theoz, very big following, like you said, TikTok star. I guess expected to be somewhere in the top four anyway, so not a massive surprise.
Yeah, I did expect Theoz to go through in some form. I must say, based on how I felt with the other acts, and I expected him to go through to the finale. I didn't expect to see him on second chance.
Now,
and I honestly thought as well that because of his following and because of, you know, the energy that he brought to the song, I honestly thought that Omar would have done better. But here's what it is.
Now, is this where the app vote going down has changed things? Because is it that the younger demographic is more likely to use the app vote? Because it's very easy. You know, you find your app, you can vote five times. You've got five votes to split or whatever, or for the same act. Versus actually picking up the phone and making that phone call, dialing, you know, finding those numbers.
I see that.
The app, because it wasn't letting people in, you couldn't even view the phone numbers on the app. You were relying what was shown briefly on screen, and you had to scribble down the number. That perhaps played a part as well. It just seemed social media chatter is going in the direction of Malu and Omar were robbed and should have been top four, and the app vote going down has somehow skewed things on that, because it's perhaps put off the younger demographic from voting.
Yeah,
it's a possibility, I suppose. It very well could have been the case. But I suppose it's something that we'll never really know, isn't it?
True. We're not going to be privy. the app only worked for the first two songs. So after that point, those that were in could still vote, but there were loads of people who couldn't sign in, so they had to abandon it in terms of fairness.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't open to everybody. So I think it was the right decision to do.
Absolutely.
To abandon the app vote and make sure it's level playing field and televote only. Because that would have been horrible if, you know, they'd have carried on and only half the people that wanted to vote on the app could have actually done it. So, in summary then, we have heat number one of Melody Festival and completed. A year of changes and a year of things staying the same in some ways. As we mentioned at the start, a new team behind this, they could absolutely have said, right, we've done the same thing under Krista's direction for like 20-odd years. Let's do a year zero revamp. Let's start again. And they could have changed absolutely everything if they wanted to.
Yeah.
But they didn't. The logo's the same. The music is the same. The stings are reminiscent of what's been done before. The graphics are pretty much the same as well. Maybe a slight evolution, but it's not a wholesale change. The format isn't massively changed apart from the voting. So perhaps not the massive change that we were expecting this year.
Yeah, I don't think you couldn't really tell that there was a different production team behind us at all, I don't think. I don't think there was very little change from the last few years compared to this one. Unless you knew, you wouldn't have known.
I think the app issues, there had been some technical problems during rehearsals as well, apparently, which had made people a bit nervous. It did make for slightly less of a slick show. There were some there was the odd dodgy camera angle here and there, but that can happen. You know, cut them some slack, for goodness sake. As we mentioned before, they have had to relocate to another venue at very short notice. And so their months of planning got upended and they had to replan for a different venue, which can't help things. It just increases pressure on them. I think they did a very good job, all considering. And I've no doubt it was first night nerves. You know what? They've got one under their belt. They've got five more to go. I think they will just continue to build on that. And these problems will be ironed out on that.
And I think, like I say, unless you are looking for these issues and these technical issues and little, like I say, camera angles, unless you're looking out for it and you know what you're looking for, average Joe Blogs in the street isn't going to notice. Not at all.
Yeah, true. Right, that is it then. Semi-final one of Mellow Pod done. Five more to go, guys.
Hey.
First one under the belt. Right, join us next time where we shall be looking at semi-final two of Melody Festival in 2022 and the choice selection that we have therein. Until next time, it's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.